Now, if you will, this evening, will you stand with me and open your Bible, Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 tonight says in verse number 3, if you have found your place, and I'll wait just a couple of more seconds here. Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, Paul says, and he's writing to the church at Philippi. And he says, I'm thankful for every remembrance of you. Verse 4, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. For your fellowship, and remember that word, in the gospel, from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I hope you have that underlined as a promise. Amen. Verse 7. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense, till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Would you bow with me in prayer, please? Dear Lord, we bow before you tonight. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for the privilege of being back in your house tonight. Lord, it is so special. This is the Lord's day. And it's so special to be back in the house of God again tonight. And Lord, I'm so thankful for this church and the testimony of this church. Not only in this community, but around the world through missions and sending missionaries and loving missionaries and wanting to help missionaries. And oh God, we're thankful for that great testimony. We're thankful for this, the pastor of this church and his dear wife and their family. I pray your continued blessings upon them. And Father, again, I am so thankful and honored to be in this place tonight to occupy this pulpit for this church and especially for this pastor. I ask you now to direct our thoughts. Lord, may you encourage hearts tonight. Oh God, may any decision that needs to be made, will it be made tonight for your honor and for your glory. And oh God, we know that you look on the hearts of every man, woman, boy, and girl here tonight. If there's any here that do not know Christ and the free pardon of sin, may tonight be that night that they'll get saved. Guide and direct us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated, please. Well, I'll tell you frankly, I have enjoyed the hospitality today. You folks have been very receiving and receptive, and I appreciate it so much. And when you think of hospitality, of course, you also think of fellowship. If you will look back in verse number 5, you have that word fellowship there. Now, so often, fundamentally independent Baptists, when we think of fellowship, we think of, oh, come on. Food. Amen? Come on. Don't get pious on me tonight. Food. We think of food. Brother Bill has been so gracious today and took me out to eat. And he said, Brother Pointer, he said, where would you like to go? Man, I'll tell you, just mentioned restaurant. I'm for it. Amen? But down deep, my wife loves Cracker Barrel. I love the food. I hate that store. That gift place. You know what I'm talking about? But I do like the food. And I'm thinking, oh, man, I know where the Cracker Barrel is. We don't have a Cracker Barrel. There's a lot of things we don't have in Sioux City. One of them's a Cracker Barrel. We can do without a lot, but boy, we sure need a Cracker Barrel. Y'all pray for us, amen? And he said, well, what do you think about the Cracker? Would you like to go to the Cracker Barrel? And I'm trying to be dignified, reserved, like your pastor. Indeed, I'm saying, yes, glory to God, amen, let's go. We went down there, and Brother Bill told me later, he says, you know, he said, I noticed, he says, you pretty well have that menu memorized, don't you? You memorize good things, amen? But you think about fellowship, you think about food. Well, I got to think about this, and I thought, well, there was a publication you may have heard about some time ago. It's been a while now, a while back. But let me tell you something. I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget it. Weight Watchers came out with their newsletter. And this is what they said in it, and I quote, "We know that there are no truly bad foods," end of quote. That's all you need to know about that newsletter, amen? But when you think about Weight Watchers, you think about losing weight. I also ran across some diet tips found in Miss Piggy's Guide to Life. Have you read that one? Miss Piggy's Guide to Life. Oh, I can tell you're so excited about it. I'll give you a few of those tips. Hold down your enthusiasm now. Amen. Number one, if no one sees you eat it, it has no calories. Amen? Amen. Come on, folks. Get with it now. Trying to get you on board with this spiritual message now tonight. Number two, if you drink a diet soda with a candy bar, they cancel each other out. Isn't that good to know? Oh, payday candy bar, here we come. Number three, food taken for medicinal purposes does not count. This includes donuts, hot chocolate, and Sara Lee chocolate cake. Amen. Number four, pieces of cookies contain no calories. The process of breaking causes a calorie leakage. And the last one, late night snacks have no calories. The refrigerator light is not strong enough for the calories to see their way into the calorie counter. Amen. Well, seriously. Fellowship, if you look at verse number 5, is a word that has, in a sense, lost its biblical meaning. It's more than having a church potluck fellowship after service. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. But it means more than that. It's more than just going out and playing a round of golf with another Christian brother, Christian sister. It's sharing the hearts in the area of the love of Christ. That's what we have in common. That is our fellowship. That's why I can come here, and we are of like faith, like mind, like practice. And we share the common interest. We share the area of the love of Christ. That's what we all have in common. I'm taller than most of you. Before my surgery, I'd shrunk about 2 inches. I'm tall again. Amen. I'm taller than most of you. Little girl right down here, she handed me a book so sweetly just a minute ago. But I also know, tall guys, big guys can scare little children. So that little boy that was standing over here this morning from Children's Church, I wanted to put my arm around him and bring him in and set him down. But I'm a big guy. You know, I can be spooky to people. I talk loud. I can be spooky to people. I laugh loud. Fact of the matter is, I think I do about everything loud. You'll have to ask Brother Bill if I eat loud or not. And you don't tell him, Brother Bill. You be nice now. I'm older than a whole lot of you folks. I wear glasses and a lot of you don't. You say, preacher, what do you, let me get back to it. Let me bring you back to it now, okay? What is it that we have in common? What is that bond that we have? What is that fellowship we have? That fellowship is that bond of being in Christ and the love of Christ that we have in common. Can I just tell you something this evening? And I realize this is no earth-shattering point in a lot of regards, but it's something that we need to be reminded of. Are you listening, Christian friend? Something we all need to be reminded of. There's a lot of hurting people out there. There may be, and I don't know your church. I mean, your pastor and I really don't talk that frequently. So I don't know this church. But there may be, and you keep this in mind, there may be hurting people right here at Open Door Baptist Church. There's people that we need to try to help and minister to and try to be an encouragement to. I'm going to get to somebody in this text tonight and in this message tonight that was an encourager. I'll go through the Bible. And you will see that there were those that were encouragers. And the opportunity that we have, yes, to be a witness, yes, to be a testimony, yes, to try to lead people to Christ. And yes, and another thing we do have in common is both of our church love missionaries, and we're doing our best to try to send missionaries around the world. And God bless you. And look at this now. Look at this. You want to be an encouragement? Listen to me. You want to be an encouragement to missionaries when they come by? You're going to have a mission conference. And they're going to come. And understand this. Not every church they go to receives them warmly. Did you know that? Not everyone does. Some churches that they go to, it's like missions is an afterthought. Missionaries and mission conference, it's an afterthought. And they know it. I had one of the missionaries in our mission conference just recently tell me that exact same thing. He said, Brother Poynter, he said, there are churches that I've been to that people could care less whether I was there or not. Go through the Bible and look, if you will, at the folks in the Bible that were encouragers. There's a lot of hurting people out there. There may be some connected with this church as well. We need to understand that it's the love of Christ that we have in common with each other. Mrs. Jones made frequent trips to the branch post office. One day she was confronted, you go in, and this happened to me just the other day as well, but she went in and she was confronted with a long line of people who were waiting to get service from one of the postal clerks there. Mrs. Jones only needed a few stamps. So there was a dear lady in line that wanted to be a help to there and said, well, ma'am, why don't you just use the stamp machine? You can get all the stamps that you need and you won't have to stand in line. Mrs. Jones said, yes, I know. But the stamp machine can't ask me about my arthritis. Not that personal contact. There's not that question. There's not that interest. Well, let me tonight give you three keys to what Bible fellowship really is. It's mentioned in our text. Number one, look at verse number 3. Paul said, I have you on my mind. Paul is thinking about others, even though, now look at this now. So many times we get to thinking, well, you know, when everything is right, then I'll get interested in other people's lives. I'll get interested in other people. When everything is all right, when it's good, then I'll come to the mission conference and show the missionaries how much I care about them, how much I love them. Look at the Apostle Paul. Look at verse 3. He's thinking about others, even though this is an extremely difficult time in his life. It's a stormy time. He's awaiting trial in Rome. At Philippi, he was illegally arrested. He was beaten. He was placed in stocks. He was humiliated in front of a great host of people. But what does he remember? You see, remembering is good. Remembering is excellent. It's too easy. We forget too easily. We just forget. We forget the things we should remember, and we remember the things we should forget. Can I just tell you something tonight? You can be the best Christian in the world. Bad things are still going to happen to you. Bad things are still going to happen. But what do you remember? Paul had all of those things. And notice what he remembered. Because remembering is so important. What does Paul remember? Does he remember the bad treatment? Does he remember the abuse? Does he remember he was beaten with rods, folks. Now, I'm not talking about willow sticks here. I grew up, and a lot of you folks think, well, you know, Brother Pointer, he's kind of old school. Yeah, but that's not all bad. But when I grew up, let me get back on track. When I grew up at Grandma's house, Grandma Shelton's house, okay, this kind of carried over to Mom. When I really did something bad, I did a lot of bad things when I was growing up. Most of you won't believe that because I am such a perfect person today. I could use another amen, folks. But Grandma would say to me, Jimmer, now my grandmother could get away with that. Don't you try it. Amen. I'm still Brother Pointer. Jimmer, you go out and cut me a switch. Uh-oh. Well, I was... okay. I'd go out and get one of those little, what do you call it? It's that little switch. They would just, they wouldn't anything to it here, Grandma. Have at it. Well, then she went and cut one, and that wasn't very good either. But he was beaten with rods. Man, that's hard. That's painful. Does he remember that? Does he remember the pain? Does he remember the unfair treatment? No. Remembering those things and the bad treatment by others, and especially when you don't think you deserve it, you remember it, it will make you bitter. And bitterness is something you do not want planted in the garden space of your heart. Bitterness will grow. You grow. I like planting a garden. I like getting the fruit. I love garden fresh tomatoes. Oh, mercy. My tongue will slap my face silly over garden fresh tomatoes. Really? I'd go home at night. There was one lady in the church, and she used to grow these. She called them surprise tomatoes. I never found anything like this. And she would bring me these. They'd be about that big and ripe. And I would go home on Sunday night, and I would take and I would cut off the bottom half. The little bottom, maybe about fourth or third. Then I would take the next inch and cut that off. And that left the place where the vine had attached. And I took those two pieces and I stuck them back together and put them back in the fridge. And I took that heart piece and I put it on two pieces of bread with mayo, with Kraft mayonnaise or isn't that, what, doesn't that sound good? Don't you wish I, what? You folks are saved, aren't you? Amen. Oh, that was good. That was so good. But I didn't mind planting. I liked the harvest. You know what I didn't like? Exactly. Yes, ma'am. There is a bright lady right there. I did not like the weeding. I hated that. By the time I got done with vacation Bible school and I got done with youth camp, you couldn't tell the carrots from the tomatoes from the beet to nothing. I mean, it was just all overgrown. Now, wait, where are you going? Here I am, right here. Now, are you ready? That's what bitterness will do to the garden spot of your heart. It's not always going to be fair. Are you listening, kids? It's not always going to be fair. But we have to do like the Apostle Paul. What did he remember? Did he remember all that? No. You know what he remembered? He remembered the Philippian jailer getting saved. That's what he remembered. He remembered Lydia, the seller of purple. That great lady that was such an encouragement to Paul and a witness for Christ. Ask yourself this question. Am I the kind of Christian that brings joy to the minds of those who think about me? Am I that kind of a Christian? I truly want to be. I love preaching. I love preaching more than ever before in my life. I preached at one church almost 40 years. I've been in the ministry full time since I graduated from Bible school back in 1970. You can do the math on that. But I love preaching more now than ever before. Now, sometimes when I preach and I get, and you know, sinners have to realize they're sinners before they can get saved. And so you preach on sin and you talk on sin, sometimes you can see people begin to bristle a little bit, you know. And I preach hard on sin. I try to keep young people. I try to keep married couples. I try to keep us senior citizens out of sin. And I tell folks, you can't play with sin. There's a price. There's a cost to getting off and getting into sin. Don't do that. Don't go there. Sometimes I preach and people kind of, you know, you can see it. But I have to preach the whole counsel of God, just like your pastor. Sometimes we preach on things that we'd rather not preach on. The Lord puts it on our hearts. That's all we can do. That's all we can do. But here's the thing, and let me get back to it now, okay? Paul was an encourager. We want to be an encourager. And all of us as God's children ought to have the desire to be an encourager. Am I the kind of Christian that brings joy to the minds of those who think about me? I have you on my mind, Paul said. There's others thinking about you, believe me. Secondly, I have you, look at verse number 7. I have you not only on my mind, I have you on my heart. Now there's a progression. Did you see it? There's a progression here. I have you on my mind. I have you on my heart. This goes a little bit deeper than having someone on our mind. Some might have to admit that instead of this statement, they would have to honestly say, I have you on my nerves. What is the saying? I have one nerve left and you're on it. Well, I've heard people say, you know, I get along better with my unsaved neighbor than I do my fellow Christian, my fellow believers. It ought not to be that way. It ought not to be that way. And we ought to have a love for each other. And we have to realize that we're to love each other, warts and all. Not everybody's like me. I've already said it. Not everybody's like you. Someone said, Christian love is the spiritual lubrication that keeps the machinery of life running smoothly. I want to say it a different way. Christian love is the spiritual lubrication that keeps the church fellowship running smoothly. Christian love is not something we have to work up. It's something we allow to come out and to flow through us. Jesus has given us love. He's given us love. We have to put away the selfishness. We have to put away the pride in order to allow that love to flow through us. How can we tell when we're practicing this kind of love? Here it is. Write it down. When we are concerned about others. Let me show you something. Now watch this. Turn over to chapter 2. Turn over to chapter 2. Notice, if you will, verse 25. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 25. Paul had the Philippians and the Philippian church, the Philippian believers, he had them on his mind, he had them on his heart. Now watch. Verse number 25, Paul sent Epaphroditus to go to minister to the Philippians in his absence. You got that? Verse 25. Back up to verse number 19. Paul then is going to send Timothy to that church. Now come down to verse 24. Thirdly, he's going to go to Philippi himself. He's going to send Epaphroditus, okay? Then he's going to send Timothy, or he has sent and he's going to send. And then thirdly, he's going to come himself. Why? Because he loved them. He had them on his mind. He had them on his heart. In the Old Testament, there's a good illustration of this. In the Old Testament high priest wore a garment called the ephod. On this ephod were 12 stones, one representing each of the 12 tribes of Israel. I'm sure that you know that. But this ephod went over his other clothing. And it was right here. Here's where the 12 stones representing the 12 tribes of Israel was. What's it close to? His heart. Exactly. His heart. It was next to his heart. You see, another excellent illustration that we need to have people not only on our mind, but on our heart, to think about them. But then lastly, he says, look at verse number 9. Go back to the text, Philippians chapter 1. He says, I have you in my prayers. On my mind, on my heart, in my prayers. Paul continually prays continually for those believers at Philippi. He's saying, every time I think of you, I pray for you. It's Paul's custom to pray for the churches. They were always on his mind. They were always on his heart. And they were always in his prayers. Notice now with Paul. He didn't think about the scars. When you get beat with rods, there's going to be some scars. I've got some scars on my body. I've got scars on my hands. I got a couple of scars on my face. I got scars from surgery. But Paul is saying here that he's praying for them. He wasn't concerned about the scars. He wasn't concerned about the hurts. There were no regrets. There was no bitterness when he thought about the Philippians. And I believe if you go to this epistle and the other epistles that he wrote, Paul oftentimes called the people in those churches by name in his writings. Not just general prayers, but by name. Lesson here is that who you have on your mind, who you have in your heart, you will also pray for. Let me meddle. I'm not real sophisticated. I don't like beating around the bush a whole lot. And I don't want to seem ugly or offend you tonight. But let me ask you something tonight. Who do you pray for? Can I be very specific? Do you pray for your pastor? Amen. That's a good response. Do you pray for the pastor's wife? Good. Great. Do you pray for your church? Do you pray for souls? Now, don't respond to this one. Do you pray for your missionaries? Do you pray for your missionaries? And let me say it, and I'm meddling just a little bit, but you know, what a blessing it would be to the missionaries to come to the mission conference and see this wonderful group of people here that love each other, love the Lord, and they're interested in their missionaries and praying for their missionaries. Oh, what a thrill that is. But you know, it's sad to say, but we think about a lot of other things. Now, I've always been a sports guy. I played a lot of sports in my life. One of the most I won't call it depressing, discouraging times is when I realized that my body still knew what to do. I could still play ball. My body knew what to do. My mind knew what to do. But my body wouldn't do it anymore. That was so discouraging. It really was. But what do we think of the most? Do we think about the NCAA brackets? Anybody still got their billion-dollar bracket in place? Amen? If you do, I want to have fellowship with you right after church tonight. But what do we think of the most? Who do we think about the most? Let me close with this thought tonight. There's one who has you on his heart tonight. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to save sinners, and I'm glad he did. If he didn't come to save sinners, I never would have been saved, folks. I know that. But he'll save you. He'll forgive you. He'll give you a home in heaven. Now, I've enjoyed being here with you today. I've enjoyed the fellowship. But one of these days, we're going to fellowship in a far better place. We're going to fellowship where there's no more aches and pains. We're going to fellowship, man, where it's just beautiful. It is gorgeous. And above all, it's where our Savior is. That's what makes heaven, heaven. And you see, my dear friend, He'll give you that home in heaven if you're not saved. Do you know what His last instructions were before He left this earth? And last words, final words, are always so important. People will oftentimes, you see it in the Bible. I believe it was with Jacob. And he called his boy in and his grandsons, and he had some last words to say. Last words are very, very important. You know what the Lord's last words were? Preach the gospel to every creature. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the world. Oh, He'll save you tonight. And He will help you send missionaries around the world to take the same gospel that's being preached here at Council Bluffs, an Open Door Baptist Church, Sioux City, Iowa, and every Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church all over this country. Same gospel. There's not one way of salvation for those in Council Bluffs and another way for those in Sioux City and another way for Michigan and then Texas and then Italy or Europe. No, it's the same. It's the same. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, He'll save you. Maybe you just need to ask yourself, who's on my mind? Who's on my heart? And who's in my prayers? Maybe. And I don't know. Maybe there's that old root of bitterness that has taken hold. Somebody has wronged you, and it was not fair. It was not right. They shouldn't have done it, but they did. And you've begun to get a little bitter over it. Maybe you just need to come to an altar and say, oh, God, forgive me. Pull up that root of bitterness and let me just go on. I don't want it to overtake my heart and affect all of those around me, affect my loved ones, my family, my church.